Hi, I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success. 103.7 The Beat.
All right. So how are you today, Chauncey?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Thanksgiving was a great holiday. I spent time in my sister's home, and it was amazing. I mean, they asked me to cut the turkey. They asked me to pray. It was like the first time I didn't do it. I was just amazed about the blessing that she received.
Okay. Well, I would thought you would have stepped up, man, and did the prayer and blessed the food, the house, the occasion. So, but you had your own reasons, right?
Yep. I was reserved. I just wanted to be in the moment. You know, sometimes you see things, people progress, and you see them grow, and then your family, you love them so much, you just be in the moment. So I just wanted to be in the moment that day, and because I usually do it.
Right.
And it was like, man, what's wrong with today? Wasn't nothing wrong with me, family. So I'll just let you know I love you guys, and it was fun being there, and the smirk turkey was good.
Was it good? Okay. Yeah, we had a wonderful Thanksgiving. My wife and I hosted the Thanksgiving dinner at our house, and I think we had like 40 people, man. And we were tired when that event was over with. I had the pleasure of another event that we do every year in Detroit, where my family members come together, and we spend the weekend in Detroit. And I had the pleasure of going to the Ford Field, watching the Muskegon Catholic win their third title
in
Division 8. Yes, a three-peat, which was very fun. And I'd like to congratulate those guys out there at Catholic Central, doing a great job.
That was a close game, too, wasn't it?
7-0, man. I think touchdown came late in the fourth quarter. It was a dogfight.
Who punched the ticket in?
I think that was Christian.
Oh, the Martinez. Yeah, okay.
I'm not mistaken. I think that's who it was, man.
Yes, he's been developing. He's done a good job.
Yeah. I take my hats off to these guys. They battled because I don't think they really had a real tough game during the playoff stretch. But they hung together, and then they got some breaks, and ultimately they pulled it off.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I had the pleasure of watching Detroit Martin Luther King play Lowell. Which was a very, very exciting game. The game was won with 2 seconds on the clock.
Yeah, that was amazing. I saw the highlight of that.
You seen the highlights,
yes,
man?
Yes, I did. That's going to go down in MHSS history.
Yes, it
high
is.
High school history.
Man, they got the ball. King got the ball on their own 3-yard line with 45 seconds left. I think it was less than that. It might have been like 37 seconds. And these guys went the entire length of the field to win the game on the last play. And it wasn't a Hail Mary. This was a design play. And it was just very exciting to see how this place erupted when the young man caught the pass and won the game. It was quite an event. So for those that didn't get to see it, you missed a good one.
Yep. So I see you had a good time during Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So today I was just thinking, I was going over some things at home. And there's some things I just wanted to have some answers about. And I was like, I know insurance is your expertise.
Okay.
So I pulled up some things and said, it says what types of insurance you really don't need to buy. And I got a couple of topics, and I just want to ask you some questions today. If you can just actually reaffirm some things for me so I can know and our listeners can know today on what direction to go when they get offered this type of insurances.
Good. Yeah, that's very good, Charles.
The first one is buying insurance to cover only cancer or other specific illnesses. Are those necessary?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because there's a lot of different types of insurance you can buy for different type of specific illnesses. And I guess, you know, the purpose to buy a cancer insurance is because it's so prevalent in today's medical world that some folks feel that they could ultimately get wiped out financially from a long bout with cancer. But I would have you check your medical insurance policy first to make sure that it does cover those kinds of illnesses. Because it could be a supplement, or you could potentially lose benefits from your current carrier if you have like an outside insurance. So in other words, it's like they're not going to let you double dip. So, but the main thing to do is, first of all, before you purchase any additional type of insurance from a medical standpoint, is to check your current carrier and what they do cover and how much they do pay before you venture off into purchasing these other products. Not to say that they're bad, but it's just to say that you don't want to buy them if it's not necessary or required.
Okay. So like looking at medical, I was thinking about dental insurance. Now I work as an educator, so I'm in a group.
Right.
So let's, if I'm an individual and I wanted to purchase, say if I work for myself, a business owner, mm-hmm. or I just wanted to acquire my own insurance for dental insurance, would it be feasible for me to purchase my own or just be able to just go in and pay for the services?
Dental insurance, you know, is really predicated on the type of work that's being done. For a simple tooth extraction, which is not, you know, very expensive, you could probably pay for that out of your pocket. But if you're going to get into any kind of surgical procedures, it can get very expensive, especially if there's any kind of diseases or what have you, that you may have a gum disease or some kind of a teeth decay disease, then it would be very expensive. Of course, when you have insurance through an employer, you're in a group, okay? So you get a better rate versus purchasing outside of the group. But if you do, you know, if you are in a group, chances are you probably got a pretty good package of dental coverage. But if you don't, then yeah, there's all kinds of other carriers you can go to see to purchase dental insurance, because it can get expensive, Chauncey.
Okay. So that goes into vision insurance then. So if I needed glasses or prescription, eye exam, is it okay to have to buy a separate insurance or just like the dental insurance?
Right. Same concept. Most of these are offered through your employer, again, through a group plan, which gives you a lower premium versus you purchasing that outside of a group plan. It's going to be more expensive. And if you don't need glasses, then why purchase it? Okay. Because a lot of times you'll go and they'll have you come back in a couple of years, do another exam, get you another prescription. That prescription is yours. You can just go and have an exam, get a prescription, and go to a local optometrist shop and have your glasses made.
I've seen that. I've actually had players in the past where they needed goggles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's multiple websites you can go to and just put type their prescription in, and they'll send them to you. I think I bought a pair of prescription glasses for an athlete, some goggles for like $40.
Yeah, you can go right
with
to the
goggle
internet
and everything with the prescription in it.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, but I've over the years I've seen it. It'd be so expensive.
Well, when you go into a an optometrist, yeah, it can be expensive for that. But you're right. As long as you get that prescription, you can go right online and order your lenses. You can get your goggles, your frames, and you can shop basically. And you're not, you know, having to be held hostage by that one particular location.
Yeah. So that's just good information to know in the future. The next one I have is credit life and disability insurance. Is it feasible to have those kind of insurances?
Yeah, of course. Insurance companies will offer anything that a person will buy. So credit life was actually started as a mortgage type of insurance.
Yes.
Where if you purchased a home, you had a 30-year mortgage on it. And as an example, the house was, it's a $100,000 house.
Okay.
And in order for the individual to get the most out of that insurance product, you would probably have to die in the 29th year in order for the policy to pay the $99,000 in the principal, because that mortgage insurance is basically going to the mortgage company to pay it off. In the same respect, if you had a 30-year mortgage and you died in the 29th year and you owed, the balance on your house was $2,000, then that's what that policy would pay, only $2,000.
So those are similar insurances, like when you buy a vehicle, they offer credit life.
Right, right.
And then say if you pass away, the family can have the car, it's paid for outright, the bank won't show and pick it up.
Right. So again, the same concept, but the thing is that if you have that vehicle and you do happen to pass away, you're right, you can pay it off through the credit life insurance. But you can also give it back to the creditor too,
and keep the check.
Yeah, that's right.
And then a lot of times, if it's somebody else's car that passed away, that's a memory you probably don't want to have and ride around in.
Yeah,
their smell is there and things like that. So it's actually something that's not worth it.
No, and you don't see it as much as you used to in the past. The credit life, or even the mortgage insurance for homeowners. You don't see it because there's so many other insurance products that you can purchase that you get the money directly, and then you can use it like you want to. Whereas if you buy that credit life for an auto loan, it directly goes to the finance company or to the mortgage company versus just having a life insurance policy itself. You can choose to pay off the mortgage. You can choose to pay off the car and still have those proceeds available for your own personal use.
The next one I have, and I looked at it, and I remember you mentioning it on a previous show we had, and it was called term life insurance, but this one says reduced term life insurance.
Yeah. Basically, that's the mortgage is reduced term, okay, because you can buy term, and the benefit will stay level.
Okay.
Okay. But the reduced term says that it's gonna track with the principal of the home. So as the principal amount that you owe drops, so does the coverage that you would receive in the event that you die. So that is a reduced term versus a level term. Level says for 10 years, if you were to die, we're going to pay you $100,000, regardless okay. if it's in the first year or if it's a 30-year term policy. If you died in the 30th year, it's still $100,000.
But with reduced term, it changes over the time.
It declines. So, like I say, it could be $2,000 if you died in the 30th year of your mortgage, and that's the balance of your principal was $2,000. That's what the policy is going to pay. But if you carry that $100,000 for 30 years, regardless of what happened, you still would collect $100,000 on term basis. But if it's whole of life, then that's forever till you die.
All right. It's pretty good. That cleared that up for me. The next one I have is prepaid legal. Now, see, I have my own attorney, and we have a good relationship going back to probably like elementary school or high school. So okay. I have a great relationship with him, but prepaid legal, could you get into going to more of that? I remember seeing it being prevalent probably about a couple of years ago, but it's still around today.
Yeah, I would say 5-6 years ago, you've seen a lot of guys doing the, what do they call it, the pyramid, when you multi-level
marketing. Yeah, multi-level marketing.
Right, and the concept of the prepaid legal was that you would pay X amount of dollars every month in the event that you needed legal advice or whatever, and then they would provide you with legal services. And I can vaguely remember one time an individual tried to use the service, and of course it's an 800 number, and if they can, you know, talk you off the phone from actually having to get an attorney involved, that's what they were trying to do. Mm-hmm. And then you don't know what level of expertise you're purchasing. Is it an individual that has been in practice for a number of years and really understands the law, be it criminal, civil law, probate, or is it some guy that barely passed the bar exam and
had his license revoked,
right?
And you know, back.
Can't get a job in any law firm, and he just latched on to these guys because they say that in any event he takes one of these claims, they would pay him X amount of dollars. So that's the part that scares me with the prepaid legal. You don't really know what you're purchasing from an expert standpoint.
Kind of like a fast food type of attorney.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not good for you.
And you would think that the good attorneys are either in private practice, they're in firms, they have their own law firm, or they're judges. So anybody that doesn't fit into that group are probably not the best attorneys to have when you're trying to litigate issues that might be, monetary, or it could be in probate or civil. So, again, I would just caution people to be careful when you're approached by these prepaid legal.
I think it goes back to what you said. We talked about building our financial team and a lawyer being on that team.
Yeah.
Remember that show we discussed on that? And, I have a personal relationship with those people, with my banker, with my accountant, with my attorney, and I always talk to them. I might be calling. Totally I might different. Call my attorney and say, I'm doing homework with my kids, Chauncey. You gotta call back later. So, I mean, I like having those relationships, but, they have retainers. So what I do, audience, because I'm not rich. I know I'm not. I'm far from that. But I do have a budget, and out of each paycheck, I make sure I prepay my own attorney.
Okay.
So in case I need him, there's checks that's been sent to him already. And living in the way we do in the world, in the times we are, it's going to have a time when you're going to need somebody. You're going to need some legal advice. So I just always just keep that trust in mind and just always pay my attorney because I just always want to be able to contact someone that has more knowledge and expertise in a certain area so I don't look dumbfounded or stupid and find myself in a legal situation I can't get out of.
Right, or make, you know, make the wrong decision that could, you know, result in some kind of legal comeback on you. So, but no, that's a good concept. If you have a person, an attorney that you can have a personal relationship with and put them on a, you know, a retainer like that, that's fantastic. Great.
So, the next one is collision coverage.
Collision coverage on older vehicles.
Okay. So, like, if I got a 1981 and I'm riding this, a hoopty, and I'm in it.
Right.
How am I covered? Is it worth getting for me?
Well, it's not what it's worth to you. It's what it's worth to the insurance company. Because in the event you have an accident, you're going to take a look at your car and say, okay, we're going to go to the Kelley Blue Book. And we're going to get the mileage. We're going to take a look at the condition of the car. And we say, okay, your car is worth $300. And you say, well, it's worth more than that to me because it's got sentimental value. Well, sorry, they don't pay for sentimental value. They pay you but based on the Blue Book. So if you have an older car and, you know, it's not worth a lot, don't carry collision coverage on it. Save your money, and in the event that it gets in an accident, go buy you another one.
Okay. The next one I have is a home warranty plan. Like when I buy a new house, brand new house, and they offer me a home warranty plan, is that something that's worth it for someone out there?
Well, I've never purchased one, but I know that when I have purchased homes, that's been offered to me. Especially if you buy a new home. If you buy a new home and you have a builder that's, you know, reliable, he will stand behind his work. In the event there are some deficiencies that come up, you would, you know, give him a call and have him come back and make it right. So I think it's for each individual's own personal level of satisfaction. But for me, I've never purchased one, and I did build a new home and never had a problem. So, again, it's up to that individual, Chauncey, if they feel comfortable with giving up dollars to say that I just bought a new house and the thing goes wrong with it, I'm going to turn a claim in versus calling the contractor to come back and make it right.
You're right, because when they see that beautiful home, they're going to say, who built that?
Right, absolutely.
If they see it leaning, they're like, who built that? And he's not going to have no business. So,
yeah.
So you're exactly right. I like that, how you came off on that question, because it's very important, because a lot of, and we're in a society where they want to sell you everything.
Yeah, and you got a lot of shady characters out here too. I think this TV 8 or 13, they have this
scam alerts or something.
Yeah,
like that.
There's a group that goes around and talks to people that have been taken advantage of. And I think one was a roofer, one was a fence builder, even one last night. A lady had a wedding, had pictures, paid the photographer, no pictures. You know, so you always want to deal with reputable type of companies and individuals, because in every line of work and business, there are scam artists that prey on individuals that don't do the due diligence of making sure that the folks they're dealing with are, again, reputable and reliable. Better Business Bureau, you know, the websites that you can go out to find out what the track history is on these companies. And don't always, you know, the cheapest is not always the best product either. You know, a lot of times when you're shopping for, you know, contractors, you're looking for the guy that's going to give you the lowest price. Well, if the work is shoddy, then the price doesn't even matter, because you still didn't get what you paid for. So just make sure you check with, you know, Better Business Bureau. And a lot of times your city hall will have a list of reputable contractors that you can contact in order to get work done.
Extending warranties on electronics and computer equipment.
That's huge today, man. You know, there's a lot of money, especially with cell phones. Yes. Cell phones, televisions. So, again, it's that individual's level of satisfaction as to what they really feel comfortable with. But me, again, personally, I've never purchased it. If I've had a problem with a product, I contact the manufacturer or the store. 9 times out of 10, that store will take it back, replace it. or the manufacturer will send out a factory rep to come out and do work on that product. And that's been my experience. So I've never, again, purchased that type of insurance.
I know I'm the type of person to keep my cell phone forever. So
okay.
I've been guilty of that one because I always, being a coach or being working out, I jog with my cell phone outside. I take it to the extreme areas just in case. So if it happens, I'm going to get a new phone or something. So I'm the adventurous type with my phone. So that's one that I do have just because of my lifestyle.
Right.
What I do with my phone, I'm not going to trade it in because I'm trying to learn the product still.
Okay.
I'm not the type of person when Christmas comes, I'm going to get a new phone every year. I don't look for the newest product. I just get whatever they have. They say, Chauncey, you can get a new phone. Like, what do you got? What can I get? They're like, you can get this one. Like, give it here.
Okay.
And I try to keep it as low and as budget as I can. But I get the insurance because in case it breaks or anything, I don't have to pay the $100 to get the screen fixed or something like that. So,
okay. So have you ever used it?
Oh, yeah. I use it. I've been using it I probably use it every 2 years.
Okay. You have to, something happens to the phone that you can go and get it replaced.
They're expensive. I mean, you're talking about products that cost almost up to $600. When you buy those things, those touch screens and all that, and needing that product, if something happened to it, I can remember a couple years ago, I didn't have it. And one of my phones, I had to pay. I had to pay the whole amount to get a new phone. So I was like, they said, you need this insurance. It's only, I think, $6 or $7. So I ended up adding it.
Per month? Yep. 6 months? Okay. Yep.
So they got me. They get me for that right now.
Okay.
But I got the insurance where if my screen cracks or something like that, it's still like a little deductible in there, but it's better than saying I got to buy a whole new phone when I go in. So
you, again, you satisfied your level of satisfaction.
That's the one thing. When I looked on everything on the list that we've been looking at today, that's the one thing that I had to have.
And I've never purchased it, okay?
Okay.
But that's my level of satisfaction. So again, it's up to each individual. But you feel good about it, and that's great. That's what you want out of your money, is to give you some level of satisfaction. What's next?
The next one is extra coverage on your rental cars for when you rent a car.
Very, very interesting. That's a good one. Because nowadays a lot of folks do rent cars when they travel, just so that they don't have the wear and tear on their vehicle. And a good thing about renting a car that I found is that, especially if you're going to travel far, okay, if you're going to go to, you know, traveling from here to Atlanta, you know, you're going out west or to Texas. I experienced this, so I know I'm speaking from a fact, is that if you do, for some reason, have car trouble and you are away from home, they treat you a little different when it comes to how much they're going to charge you to repair your vehicle because they know they got you in a jam. So if I do extended travel, I like to rent a vehicle because if you rent it and it breaks down, you make a phone call. They bring you another vehicle, okay? So you don't have to worry about that, those shady mechanics that you have to deal with, you know, 700,000-800,000 miles from home. But back to your question, as far as your insurance coverage, in the state of Michigan, if you have comprehensive and collision coverage along with the Michigan PLPD and you rent a vehicle, you do not have to purchase that additional insurance that they try to sell you.
Okay.
The law states as long as your car is parked, that insurance transfers to the rental car. Some companies ask for proof, some don't. But if you do have a rental car, take your proof of insurance with you from the vehicle that is sitting. So in the event you are stopped by the police, you do have your proof of insurance even for the rental vehicle. Because the same thing would happen if you got stopped and you couldn't provide proof of insurance, then that's a ticket because you didn't, you know, you failed to have proof in your car. So if you do rent a car, always take along with you your own personal certificate of insurance. So yeah, because that's a lot of money for the rental car companies, that insurance, and a lot of folks don't know the law and they take advantage of you. So
offering an extra product to make some money.
And if you have a question, contact your insurance carrier before you purchase that additional insurance offered by the rental car company.
I usually use my own insurance.
Right.
I have comprehension and collision, and I have all the things that make the specs for my vehicle. But if I got to go travel for more than 4 hours,
mm-hmm.
I'm renting a car.
Right.
I'm not going to take my vehicle like that. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because I've been in a situation like that in college.
Okay.
Driving my vehicle to Boston, and it tore down. It tore up.
Uh-huh.
And they overcharged me, and I had to get it fixed. And I was going to school, working on my master's in education. I lived in Boston, and I just got the car. And I had some type of little extended warranty on there that I bought.
Mm.
And I had to pay to get my – I had to pay that fee. I had to pay my money, and I waited till they looked at my how they fixed the car. Then they reimbursed me, not even all of what I paid. So those extended warranties that you get in the mail for to add to your car, you need to add this, you need to add that. I'm telling you, that's a ripoff.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah,
I did it. That was back in 2003 when I got my master's. I remember that. I was like, well, I got this warranty. It was like, they looked at me, the dealership did. Like, okay. So it only covers this much. You still got to pay first.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to pay first. I had to wait for a check to come. It took them like almost 4 months for the check to come. And when it came,
Wow. It
was almost, it was only 30% of what it's supposed to be in.
And you've paid them every month for this extended warranty.
Yes, I did.
And a deductible.
I think it was up front.
Wow.
Up front, $1,000. So, like, audience, I'm giving you information because it's experience I've been through. So I read all the time and I study this stuff because being taken advantage of in one time, I don't even want to quote this person, but George Bush said it. It's on a song, a hip-hop song I heard by J. Cole. He said, you fooled me once.
Right.
You fooled me twice.
Right.
You fooled me again, you're going to fool me again. And that's George Bush, and it's on a song. And I remember him when he did that, when he said that in a press conference. So it's just, it's funny, but at the same time, don't get fooled so many times with somebody. It's you need it. It's good. It's a product they offer after the market so they can make more money off of you.
I've not heard any good stories about those extended warranties, Chauncey. Never.
So I didn't. You done heard my nightmare story already. I thought I was gonna have a good time in Boston. Boston's a beautiful city.
Okay.
My car was down. I got to see the city because I was on the subway.
That's right. That no was more your car. Mode of transportation.
So I was out without a car for like a month. I remember that.
Yeah, and things happen to new cars. You know, transmissions go out. Even if you got a car that's brand new or a couple years old, and you think you know it's all good, and it probably will be. But it's just that one event that could just turn into a disaster when just for a couple $100, you could just, your level of satisfaction can be taken care of.
Yeah, that's all it's about. If it fit for you, you wear it. You can do it. The next one is travel insurance. Like when you know you get buy a vacation package offline and they offer travel insurance.
Again, I've had that offered to me but have never purchased it. And it's basically for interruptions or if you... You know, because a lot of the tickets you purchase, airline companies are non-refundable. They make you jump through hoops to even to reschedule. There's a fee that you have to pay to reschedule your dates of travel. And, you know, I guess if you're a person that just travels all the time, maybe it's for you. But a person that travels, you know, a couple times a year, pretty much has made their plans and they're concrete. I don't think that is a good product. So again, I don't think you should be purchasing travel insurance either.
All right. And the last one I have for the day, audience, is pet insurance. Now, when I grew up, when Butch died, my dad took Butch out to the woods.
Okay,
so I didn't see no insurance.
No, we didn't take our pets to the vet. Okay, and I had a dog. For most people that know me, this dog was a legend in our neighborhood called Tangy. And this dog lived for probably 15, 16 years. So I got that dog when I was in kindergarten, and that dog was still alive when I graduated from high school.
Wow.
Had never took that dog to the vet a day in his life, okay? And seemed to be doing okay. So, but pet insurance is for those folks that just love their pets. It's a product that if they get sick, you take them to the doctor. It's just like medical insurance for a human. But again, me personally, I'm like Chauncey. We grew up that way. And I just don't think it's a good purchase. Okay.
But like you said, it's all depend on the person.
Yeah. It's your level of satisfaction. If you love that pet and you got the cash, then, you know, go ahead and pay for it. Because, you know, I had an experience where, you know, a pet cemetery, crematorium. They do all these things for pets that they do for humans. They even have cemeteries where people actually have their pets buried and They go out to the cemetery just like they do for humans. Because I've seen it. I witnessed it. They cremate them. They can put them in an urn. You can have it sitting on your fireplace mantle. So some people really get into the to this pet business, and it's a lot of money involved in it. A lot of money.
Wow.
And it was one more we want to hit up before we get out of here. Accidental death and dismemberment.
Okay.
If you have a life insurance policy, double check it. Make sure that it is a life insurance policy and not a accidental death and dismemberment policy, because it won't pay if you die of natural causes.
You had mentioned that right before we started the show today. What was? Could you give that example? I know we're not gonna mention no names, but what was that example that you had?
Okay, I had a friend that had purchased this policy 20 plus years ago. They're dirt cheap, and they pay for dismemberment. If you lose an eye, finger, hand, everything has a price attached to it. And he died of natural causes. And when I was called to go out and take a look at the policy, of course, I didn't sell it to him, went out, took a look at it. It turned out that it was an accidental death and dismemberment policy and didn't cover death of natural causes. So they had paid on his policy for all these years thinking that they had a life insurance policy, which in actuality they did not. So I just hate to see that happen to anyone. So if you have any kind of a policy like that, you know, ask somebody, make a phone call, but just make sure you know what you've purchased.
Wow. Thank you today, Tony. I got a wealth of knowledge today. I mean, when I was looking over my materials and things, I was like, I had a couple topics, and man, this was great. This was a good thing for our community to know, because I'd rather know before than when it happens.
Right.
So give me some knowledge before it happens. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success at 103.7 The Beat.
Thank you. Have a good evening, Muskegon.